This is a month dedicated to poor souls in purgatory. And as you know, out of sight, out of mind. And sadly, we tend to forget the faithful departed who are now suffering in purgatory to atone for the temporal punishment due to their sins. So the Catholic Church has dedicated the whole month of November so that we can remember to pray for them. I'd just like to start with the Dies Irae. It's a prayer that's said for the Mass of the Dead. And that day of wrath, that day shall reduce the world to glowing embers. David with the Sibyl being witness. How great shall be the trembling when the judge shall come to investigate rigidly all things. The trumpet scattering a wondrous sound through the sepulchres of the whole world shall gather all before the throne. Death and nature shall stand aghast when the creature shall rise again to answer to the judge. The written book shall be brought forth in which all is contained, whence the world is to be judged. When therefore the judge shall be seated, whatsoever is hidden shall be brought to light. Nothing shall remain unpunished. What shall I, a wretched sinner, then say? What patron shall I entreat, when even the just shall hardly be without anxiety? King of awful majesty, who savest freely those who are to be saved, save me, O fount of mercy. Remember, O loving Jesus, that for my sake thou hast come on earth. Let me not then be lost on that day. Seeking me, thou becamest weary. Suffering the cross, thou didst redeem me. Let not so great a labor be in vain. Just judge of vengeance, grant the gift of pardon before the day of accounting. See, I groan like one condemned. My face reddens with guilt. The suppliant spare, O God. Thou who didst absolve Mary, in other words, Mary Magdalene, and didst hearken to the thief, to me also thou hast given hope. Unworthy are my prayers, but do thou who art good benignly grant that I burn not in everlasting fire. Amid thy sheep, appoint me a place, and separate me from the goats, placing me at thy right hand. The accursed having been silenced and given over to the bitter flames, call me with the blessed. Kneeling and prostrate, I pray with a heart contrite, as though crushed to ashes. Have a care of my last hour. Doleful shall be that day on which guilty man shall rise from the glowing embers to be judged. Spare him, O God. Merciful Jesus, O Lord, grant them rest. My dearly beloved in Christ, few people consider the gravity of sin. Every sin, mortal and venial, because it's an offense offered to God, is a great disorder. We must remember that venial sin is called such only by comparison with mortal sin. Every sin, mortal and venial, merits punishment. God would not be a wise legislator if he had not established a sanction for this disorder, a sanction which a sinner must undergo either in this life or in the next. The moral order must be repaired to the degree that it has been disturbed. Non-believers can readily understand the arguments of appropriateness. All must concede that there is a distinction in the guilt of different sins. The criminal law of all nations are founded upon this idea. An indeliberate fault is not equal in gravity to a serious deliberate crime. When the order of justice is violated, reparation is demanded. If this reparation is not made before death, it must be undergone after death. Reparation made by someone who has repented differs from reparation by someone who has died without repentance. This argument rests on the principles of natural reason. After death, God casts into hell unrepentant sinners who die in the state of mortal sin. Souls who die in the state of grace but have not fully atoned for the temporal punishment due to their sins must suffer in purgatory to expiate before entering into life everlasting. It's useful to often think of purgatory in eternity because it leads us to effectively avoid sin and practice virtue. My dearly beloved in Christ, during life we're easily distracted by the pleasures and activities of the world. As a result, our hearts are not deeply concerned about the pain of loss suffered by the poor souls in purgatory, the deprivation of the sight of God and the vision of God after death. However, The pain of sense really frightens us. In her book, The Month of the Holy Souls, Sister Mary Emanuel has written, "In the visions and revelations of the saints, which St. Thomas Aquinas says are our only safe guide in cases where the Church has not spoken, we are made aware of this pain under various forms. We hear of fiery lakes and of seas and pits of flame in which souls are plunged, of sharp, intense, terrible, and piercing cold, of dense and terrifying darkness. Some even teach that the fire of purgatory is the same as that of hell, and then in the lowest regions, where are confined the souls with the greatest deaths to pay, the demons harass and torment the unfortunate prisoners. On several occasions, souls have been allowed to die for a time, as it were, and then have been recalled to life after having visited these terrible and mysterious regions. Such was the case of Drithelm of Northumberland, of whom St. Bede speaks, with St. Christina and others, which you can read about in Father Shoup's book entitled Purgatory." When you read through this, some of the stories are terrifying. "When such souls have returned to this world, they seem to have feared no kind of suffering, but eagerly to have endured the sharpest pains, fire, cold, wounds, exposure to freezing waters, and the like, and invariably repeated that such pains are nothing compared to what they've witnessed in the other world. In this land of expiation, it would seem that innumerable forms of pain and torment are to be experienced. St. Francis of Rome describes purgatory as seen by her in her visions as divided into three distinct regions. They're situated one beneath the other and occupied by souls of different grades of guilt and punishment. The lowest region is filled with a vast fire like a burning sea, giving forth immense flames. Innumerable souls are plunged into its depths. They are those who committed mortal sins, which were indeed confessed, but not sufficiently expiated. St. Francis learned, for every forgiven mortal sin, there's an average period of expiation, which he estimates is 7 years. If you try to fathom that, okay, 7 years of the most intense pain for an average for mortal sins. There's some mortal sins, a single mortal sin. Souls will suffer much more than 7 years. But 7 years of our time to suffer this intense pain with no relief. The next region St. Francis saw was destined for souls which had deserved less rigorous chastisement. It had three distinct divisions. One was like an immense dungeon of ice with indescribably intense cold. The second, like a huge cauldron of boiling oil and pitch. The third, like a pond of liquid metal resembling molten gold or silver. The third region, or upper purgatory, that is the one nearest to the time of release, the state understood to be the temporary abode of souls which suffered the pain of being deprived of the vision of God, which still is an intense pain. We can't even, worse than anything on earth. St. Mary Magdalene of Pazzi, in a vision, was taken to the prisons of divine justice. She saw a place full of ice and fire, in which the souls of children and simple, ignorant persons were expiating their faults. They were consoled by their angels. There were also demons there who increased the suffering of the poor souls. She saw another region where souls appeared to be cut into pieces by sharp swords wielded by demons. She was told that these were souls whose conduct had been tainted by hypocrisy. In another place, she beheld souls bruised and crushed under a press, as it were. These are they who had been impatient and disobedient. In the dungeon of liars, she saw molten lead being poured into the mouths of the prisoners while they at the same time trembled with cold. Other vices were punished by various other torments, and at last the saint came to a dungeon where souls were confined who had not been slaves of any vice, but through lack of vigilance over themselves, had committed all kinds of trivial faults. Saint Lidwina was conducted by her guardian angel to an immense prison surrounded by massive walls of immense height and fearful thickness. From within arose an indescribable tumult of cries, laments, rattling of chains, and the sound of loud blows. No din of battle could be compared to that terrible medley of sounds. In other words, warfare was nothing like that. This is much worse than any kind of human warfare. She shuddered at the very suggestion of her angel that she should enter this place and refused to do so. She then arrived at a spot where an angel seemed to be sitting sadly on the edge of a well. "Who is that angel?" she asked. "It's a guardian angel of that sinner whose soul you are praying for," answered her guide. "His soul has a special and most severe purgatory in that well." The cover of the well was then removed, and a cloud of flames mingled with the most piteous cries issued forth. Sedlidwina at once recognized the voice of the one for whom she prayed. A spirit then appeared at the mouth of the well. It was all on fire, resembling incandescent metal. Sedlidwina then offered the most fervent prayers for the poor soul, and after a few days, the angel appeared to her with a joyous countenance and told her that the soul had left the well and gone into the ordinary purgatory. The saint continued her ardent supplications till she learned that the gates of heaven had been opened to that poor soul. From all these examples and many others of the same kind, we may conclude that must conclude that the pain of sense in purgatory is something unspeakably terrible. And in these examples, it's really merely represented in a form comprehensible to our senses in order that we may understand in what severe need the poor souls stand in need of our help. My dearly beloved in Christ, if the menace of the suffering of purgatory and hell do not suffice to inspire us with the horror of sin in general and of venial sin, how do people act if they do not believe in purgatory and hell? People are satisfied with a lukewarm spiritual life or just total disregard for all of God's commandments. Such teaching, in other words, rejection of hell and purgatory, favors laxity and quickly conducts souls to spiritual death through mortal sin. If the doctrine, even just the doctrine of purgatory, is taken away, as in the Protestant religions and Greek Orthodox, the works of penance are effectively suppressed, and you open to human souls the wide road leading to eternal perdition. Let us assist the poor souls in purgatory by masses, prayers, alms, and penance. Let us also live our faith fervently by the practice of Christian virtue and the avoidance of sin. In addition, let us gain as many indulgences as we can. In doing so, we can avoid purgatory altogether and immediately enter the everlasting happiness of heaven. I'll close with a short story. St. Antoninus of Marseille once had a vision of one who had been dead for some time, and though many masses had been offered for his soul, he said, "My brother, all the masses and all the prayers that have been offered up for me have done me no good. I'm in purgatory and shall have to remain there until I've satisfied the justice of God. I've received no relief from all that has been done for me because I neglected to pray for the holy souls in purgatory when I was alive. All the benefit of the prayers and masses said for me is given to those souls for whom I ought to have prayed in a special manner, but did not do it. They are relieved instead of me, and I have to suffer. Oh, pray for me," he continued, "that God may forgive me my neglect, and go and preach to the people everywhere to pray for the souls of the faithful departed, lest when they die, God may treat them as he has treated me." Then he disappeared. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.